Another Bible reading now, this time from Matthew's Gospel and from chapter 2. So Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, and I'll read the first 12 verses. So if you have your Bibles open at that passage. Matthew 2 and verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And, assembling the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written in the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will govern my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly, and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." When they had heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Amen. I've got a question for you, and it's simply this. Did it really happen? Did it really happen? Some years ago, when Barbara and I were still helping to run the parents and toddlers, one of the mums, actually one of the grannies, turned up one time. They'd been running a little bit late, and she'd made some sandwiches for the little one. And as they were sat down in the corner and were talking, she started to give the sandwiches to the child. And she said, "I brought a packed lunch, and these have got fish in them." I don't know whether it's fish paste or tuna, I've no idea. But she, and then being in a church building, you could see her mind clicking over, and she said, "Oh, didn't Jesus do something with the bread and the fish?" And we began to talk about that. And before I could take it any distance at all, of course, the conversation, people came in, the conversation changed, and it turned around. The question I wanted to ask her was this, the one I've just mentioned to you before. Did it really happen? Did Jesus feed all those people with that bread and with those fishes? Did it really happen? That's what I'm asking you tonight. Did a man walk into the desert region of Galilee around the year 30 AD? And was he followed into that desert region by literally thousands and thousands of people? Did it happen? And then, did he, by his own amazing and miraculous powers, take those five little loaves, those two small fish, and feed those thousands of people until they could eat no more? And were there enough crumbs left over to feed the disciples who'd been distributing the bread and the fish? John, who wrote that passage that we read before, says that he was an eyewitness, that he is bearing a testimony. It's like John's gospel is like being in a law court. He's saying, I'm bearing testimony to these things. My witness is true and reliable. So that's my question. Did it really happen? If it did, then that event is unprecedented in the history of the world. The man who did this, think about him. There is no one like him before or since. And if that happened, and if he did that by his own amazing miraculous powers, then this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, must become the center of all things for you and for me. He must become the focal point around which every moment of every day revolves. So my question is, did it really happen? Let's read again, this time from Luke's Gospel and chapter 2, and we'll pick up the reading in verse 8. So Luke's Gospel and chapter 2. Chapter 2, and we'll start from verse 8. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Amen. A few minutes ago I asked a question, did it really happen? Let me change that around and make a statement. It really did happen. It really did happen. We thought about the Lord Jesus Christ feeding those 5,000 men plus women and children. And you'll say, well, what has that got to do with Christmas? Well, in fact, the two are linked together, aren't they? They belong together. We can say, if the feeding of the 5,000 happened, it was only because Christmas happened. The two are linked together. You can't have the feeding of the 5,000 without Christmas. The miracle of the 5,000 being fed is because of the miracle of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go back from the feeding of the 5,000, just a little bit further back, and let's go in our mind's eye to that first Christmas there in Jerusalem, in the days of Herod the king. We meet Herod very briefly at the beginning of Matthew's gospel. And when we meet him, Herod is a very troubled man. Yes, he's sitting upon the throne, and I mean, I don't know what the throne was made of, but the throne that he's on is very insecure. Okay. And in the midst of all of this insecurity, where Herod is a suspicious man and worried and concerned about all kinds of things, this large group of men arrived from the east. It must have looked like a small army with all of these men and all their attendants. And this troubled man meets these men, and everything is only made worse. Because these magi, the wise men, these are astrologers, astronomers, and they, months before, have been gazing up into the night skies. They've been studying the constellations, and one star in particular has attracted their attention. And they've come to believe that it was the star of the king. And so they made their preparation, and they've travelled however many months it's taken them, weeks certainly, to travel across that strip of land. And now they are in Jerusalem, and they've come to find and to worship the king. And so naturally, they go to the capital city, where the palace is. And in Matthew's gospel, the question, verse 2, is, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? They're looking for a king. They've gone to the king's palace, but Herod is not the king they're looking for. What on earth it did to Herod's emotions, I've no idea. This is a special king. He's just been born, and he's got his own star. All very deeply troubling. And so he calls the religious men, and in Matthew 2 we find that they tell him that the scriptures tell them where this child is to be born, not in Jerusalem, but nearby, a few miles away, in Bethlehem. That passage we read together as we began the service. And so the scriptures and the star lead to Bethlehem. And these wise men find the Saviour, and they worship him, and they offer him their special and very costly gifts. Why were they there? They were there because a star rose in the night sky. And they were there because scripture pinpointed the very town where this one would happen. You see, it really did happen. But let's go back a little further, just a few weeks this time, to those shepherds that we've read about. And we meet them not in Jerusalem, but where they work, on the hillside. These men would be Jewish, but although they're Jews, they don't belong to Jewish society. Not really. They're needed by society, but they're not wanted by society. They're needed because of what they produce, sheep. The wool provides clothing, the sheep themselves provide meat, and then the lambs and the sheep obviously also provide sacrifice. So, they're needed, but they're not wanted. And in that story, as they're sitting there on that cold, dark, barren, quiet hillside, suddenly an angel appears and they are terrified. He says, "Don't be afraid, I've got some good news." And he announces the birth of a saviour. And they are told where to find this child and how to identify him. We thought with the children this morning, didn't we? He'll be found in a manger, in an animal's food trough. And that lone angel, having made that announcement, the whole thing is backed up by this rejoicing choir of angels. And they stand around on the hillside. Always we see the pictures of them, they're in the sky. They're not in the sky, they're standing around on the hillside. And they sing about the glory of God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace amongst men with whom he is pleased. And then suddenly as they have appeared, all those angels have gone. And the night sky is dark, and suddenly it's cold once again. And you know, there's not an atheist, there's not an agnostic among that group of men. And they all say, "Let's go and see this thing that has been told us, this thing that has been revealed to us." And so they head off. And they get down into the town. What time is it? 2, 3 in the morning. And they manage eventually to find the child. And it's all exactly as it was told them. Why were they there? Why did they go? And then why did they tell everyone what had happened to them? Well, it's because of the angel and the angels. You see, it really did happen. It really did. Did it really happen? It really did happen. Now, a final question. What difference does it make? What difference does it make? The feeding of the 5,000, the shepherds, the angels, the star, the wise men. What about you tonight? Did those things really happen? Do you believe them? And if you do, if you really believe them, then it will affect the way you live today, tomorrow, and onwards. If these things are true, it changes everything. This is the Bible sense of believing. To believe is to be changed. Those who believe are changed. Changed, we are changed in our minds, in our affections, in our attitudes, and in our behavior. Let me give you two examples, and both from my own experience. The first one is the Olympics. Did he compete? No, didn't compete. It could be any major athletics event. The ones we watch, okay? I've watched the Olympics. I believe they took place. I know they took place. And I know that behind those events, there were massive, massive preparations in order that it might all just simply happen. I saw the running and the jumping. I saw the riding and the swimming, the throwing and the vaulting. I saw the heats, the semis and the finals. Not all of it. Don't glue myself to the TV. But I saw all of that. I saw the joy and the disappointment. And so I watched some of it. And I really believe, I know that it happened. But you know what? Not changed a thing. Didn't make a heap of a difference, right? I didn't join a gym, didn't start jogging round the block, and was never into that. I was saying this morning to folk, I could never really run, except there was a ball to chase. I could run forever if there was a ball in view. I could never just run round the block. So it didn't make any change in me whatsoever. Those things really happened, and I know they happened, I believe they happened, but it didn't change a thing for me. So, I believe those things, but not in the Bible sense of believing. So let's put the Olympics on one side. Let's talk about now, and think about now, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, that's different. That's different. So, young man, my late teens, I was invited by a group of young people to join a Bible study group. I was with a group of my mates just out the pub. We'd gone out for a night out, a few pints and various other things, and then I met this group of people. Perhaps doesn't seem the wisest thing to, you wouldn't normally invite a group of giddy young men just out of the pub to a Bible study. That's what they did. And I said, I'll come to your Bible study. And I did. And I began with those young people to read through the Gospels and to talk about them. And as I did so, I came to a clear and absolutely convinced understanding. I came to a clear understanding that this man, the man that I was reading about and talking and thinking about, had actually risen from the dead. He had actually risen, and that he was alive now. And once I believed that, I knew that everything else had to change. That's the Bible sense of believing. Once I believed it, everything had to change. And bit by bit, it did. That's why I'm here tonight. If these things have really happened, and if you know that they've really happened, you really believe them, if you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ fed the 5,000, but more importantly, you believe that he came into the world as a clean, pure, holy man, that he lived a pure and holy life, that he died on the cross, and that he's alive now because he's raised from the dead, then your life has to change. It has to. And so that's why we've asked these questions and made these statements. Did it really happen? It really did happen. What difference does it make? What difference does it make? Dear friends, tonight, if you're not a Christian and you recognize these things, if you recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent into the world to be the Saviour and the Lord, then you have a duty to tremble before him and to mourn over your sin and to call upon him right now and take the words of the angels, that word that came to those shepherds, to you is born this day a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. Make it personal. Talking with a group of people the other day, and I said, you know, sometimes people say, oh, you mustn't take this personally, and immediately you're thinking, yeah, right. Yeah, right. But this you must take personally, and it's a good personally, isn't it? To you is born a Saviour. Take the angel at his word. To you is born a Saviour, and call on the Lord that he would make you one of his very own, and that he would then become your shepherd and look after you and care for you all your days. That's the deal. But then, believer, here tonight, these things really happened. You know it really happened. So then rejoice in the Lord. Be thankful that he has been so kind to you and merciful. Believer, his favour rests upon you in an especial and particular way. What a gift, what grace, what tenderness, oh, what patience he has with you. Believer tonight, be mystified. Why me? I'm so undeserving. Why should I know and have these things granted and given to me? Believer, be determined that by the grace of God you will serve him from now on and always with a loving heart. Begin every day by saying, Lord, this day belongs to you. Not just Sunday, but every day belongs to you. Oh Lord, help me to walk today with you. Help me to walk well. Help me to walk wisely. And then, believer, be confident. Be confident. If the Lord God has gone to such trouble to send you a Saviour and to make you belong to that Saviour, then he will never, ever leave you or forsake you. As the scriptures say, the work he has begun in you, he will bring to completion. This is what is so wonderful about Christmas. This is why, as believers, we say, yes, it did happen. And what difference does it make? It makes all the difference in the world. Amen.